I'm sure they've figured it out, but the title of this panel is 10 Ways Americans Win on Guns. I don't know how they divided it up or if they've each got 10 ways, which would not surprise me given their caliber. We will start with my old friend, Mr. Feldman.
Thanks, Peggy. You know, I speak a great deal around the country on college campuses. And people are always very interested about understanding why this is such a third rail issue in American politics. And I think the answer lies much in the fact that while it's about guns, guns are also a very symbolic issue. And the whole issue about gun control is really an issue about power and control. It's the relationship between we the people and our government. And when our government basically trusts us with the guns we've owned and never misused, at some level we basically trust that government. And as the folks in New York and Connecticut, California, Massachusetts, Maryland, and other states found out this year, when their government no longer trusts them with those guns they never misused, they're being represented by people who are not worthy of their trust. Therein lies the power, the potency of the firearm issue in American politics. And as I've said this year, from the White House to that very CDC meeting, guns are never the problem. Guns in the wrong hands are always the problem. So what I'm suggesting is, in a different way slightly, everything you've been hearing at this conference. It's about how to use language. It's about the language we use. It's how to shift the discussion away from an issue that puts us on the defense, and that can be a difficult issue, sometimes even talking about it, assault weapons. We're already losing instead of shifting that discussion into a winning topic. Earlier this summer, I was invited and flown over to Johannesburg, South Africa, by Al Jazeera to do a live TV show on firearms in Johannesburg. And thinking about what I wanted to say over there, I didn't really want to open the discussion about what we think here. I wanted to use something that was going to be a gee whiz statement over there. So unbeknownst to them, when they gave me the opportunity to talk about the firearm rights issue in America, I said, you know, Americans who understand the issue agree completely with the great words that Nelson Mandela said when he addressed the joint session of the United States Congress in 1990. And in the second paragraph, he said, liberty and equality are essential human rights which must, if necessary, be defended by the weapons of war. All of a sudden, we're talking about Nelson Mandela in South Africa, the great hero. We're not talking about American gun rights. I'm agreeing with Nelson Mandela. That shifted the debate from what they wanted me to talk about to what I wanted to talk about. We have very little time, and there's been so much good information here at this conference. This is about my 20th, and there's never been a conference I don't learn an awful lot of stuff about an issue I think I sometimes know so much about. And there's been some great ideas here. Let me just add a couple of points. Often our opponents try and mix and match different aspects and problems within the gun issue. I always like to zero in and say there are three aspects to firearm misuse. There's the negligent, unintentional misuse of guns. There's the deranged, dangerously mentally ill individual, largely committing suicide, and a very small group of them deciding to take as many people with them. And the biggest and most important category of firearm misuse, the intentional, felonious, criminal misusing a gun. That issue doesn't want to get discussed too much on Capitol Hill, and more people died in the next 5 days in the city of Chicago than had died in Newtown, Connecticut. But you didn't hear too much about Chicago because they die in ones and twos, and it's very common. So my argument is really, why don't we talk about that, and how do we shift the discussion? Now, every narcotics officer I talk to in this country, and I think I'm well over 100 at this point, said to me, generally off the record, between 40 and 50% of violent gun-related crime in their city is directly attributable to the war on drugs and to the illegal control over the illegal market in drugs. So every legislator who wants to talk about guns, I say, why don't we have an adult conversation about the relationship between our war on drugs and gun violence? And if you're as interested, Congressman, Senator, Assemblyman, Representative, in eliminating gun violence, lowering gun violence, I have some ideas that might do 30 or 40 or 50% of that today without interfering with the rights of any of the legitimate citizens that own guns in your district ever. Let's talk about that issue. Let's get that issue. It changes the discussion, and it's a really important change because it goes to the problem, not the tool that's misused leading to the problem. In conclusion, one of the rules I tell kids is when you're in a hole, stop digging. But the final rule is always, when you stop digging, you're still in a hole. So let's do things differently. There are a lot of great ideas here at this conference. I'm going to start doing some things differently, too. Thanks all so very much. Mark?
Thanks, Richard. Believe it or not, Richard and I started out in this business about the same time. He was NRA's field rep for New York back in the days when we both had different colored hair and Richard had a little more. And anyway, it's great to have him here. And next, I'd like to bring up Mark Vanderberg of Gun Rights Radio Network. Mark.
Well, I'd like to say that I appreciate that everyone's still here on Sunday. You guys are the diehards right now. I know what a long day it was yesterday. This is my fifth gun rights policy conference. My first was in 2001, and you really get a mental overload of all the information you get on the first day. I mean, they really jam-pack it full. But you're still here, and that's the important part, because there's a lot of information that you received yesterday and that you'll receive today that you can take back into your areas. And I see some familiar faces out here, people I've seen at previous conferences or in other areas. And I was just here in Houston just in May. I was here in May for the hardware. You know, we're here at the NRA annual meeting, and for me, that was all about the hardware. But today we're here about the software. We're here about the things that we can do to protect the hardware, to make sure we can still do that. You know, when I first came to this conference in 2001, I was sitting out in the audience, and I was motivated and inspired after that conference to go home and do something, do more than I was doing. At that period of time, I had started a local group, and we were getting together on a monthly basis. But I wanted to go bigger with it. And being somebody that's very interested in technology, I started at that period of time one of probably the very first gun rights podcasts, which is an internet radio show. And we called it the Gun Rights Advocates Podcast because it was a way of taking what I learned in grassroots meetings that were done by the NRA and other groups and being able to relay that information that I had learned to other people. Well, that had snowballed and grown to the point where I was encouraging others to do shows because, you know, I'm just one voice. And there's a lot of other opinions out there. And so after a while, we started getting other shows, and we were all cross-promoting each other. And so one conference in 2007, one of the guys I was talking with said, well, you know, it would be really neat if we started a network. And I'm usually the kind of guy that jumps in there and goes right in and says, let's do that. But I kind of waited to see maybe if somebody else would volunteer. Got a lot of things on my plate. It didn't happen. So within a couple weeks, I threw together a real primitive website, and we called it the Gun Rights Radio Network. And a lot of people say, well, what station are you on? We're not. But it's all on the internet. And if you go to gunrightsradio.com, you can go and listen to the podcasts. There's links to the other shows that you can listen to that are on the network, links to their websites. You can subscribe to the shows using iTunes. Really, if you have a smartphone, I've seen that a lot of people did earlier when they were asked. Stitcher Radio is a great app to listen to Gun Rights Radio Network shows. It streams live, and it makes it really good. But that's only part of it. You know, we need people on the ground doing things. And so being this my second trip to Texas, we were here a little early. I've been here almost a week now, and I'd visited the state capitol. And I took a tour, and I wanted to see what Texas Capitol looked like and what you have in the state. And I advise if any of you here, you know, live in Texas, to go visit your state capitol, get involved, find out who your representative is, where their office is at. And if you're not nearby, I mean, Texas is a real big state. I understand if you can't visit the capitol all the time, but I would suggest every several years making a trip to the capitol. And, you know, finding out who that representative is, visit their office, not only to complain about something, but it's really good to when your representatives do something good to let them know they do it. They really appreciate it. I tell you what, I get really good letters back from representatives that get, you know, instead of the, you know, because the people that are receiving these letters are not the person themselves that you're sending it to. I mean, the people in the office are looking at it all day long. They're looking at all these negative letters and what they did wrong. And when they see that good letter, that goes to the top of the stack. That's the one that they set aside, and they get, you know, you don't necessarily get the form letter for that one. And things that were mentioned earlier as far as getting outside of our comfort zone as far as what groups of people we're looking at. I had an idea. I'm an idea guy a lot of time. I had an idea the other, you know, a couple of years back that, you know, I talk to people a lot of times, and just because of what I do, and I just assume that everybody's political persuasions are the same as mine. We're at the gun range, I'm talking to somebody, and I just assume that that guy is just as hardcore as I am. And it's not the case. And so I had been contacted by someone about wanting to do a podcast, but it was going to be different because he considers himself a San Francisco liberal with a gun. And he wanted to reach out to people. I mean, he liked listening to the shows on the Gun Rights Radio Network, but let's face it, a lot of the shows on our network are far to the right, way Republican, some libertarian. But he wanted to bring a perspective of someone totally different. And so Cowboy T is doing the liberal gun cast on the network. And he does a great job with it. And he's been doing it for just less than a year now. We're almost, I think we're at 21 or 22 episodes right now. And there should be another one coming out soon. So if you get a chance, that it may not necessarily be something that you'd want to listen to, but if you have a friend or relative that'd be interested in that, that's another way of getting out the information. So take the information that you've received here today and go out and tell other people. I know some of you probably received this on the front table or maybe in your packet. This is a list of all the speakers that were here today. And they're all easily accessible from the bios that they had here. Do a search on the internet for them. You'll find their web pages or where they've been. That's where I found Richard. He was just on the Gun Rights Radio Network Barstool discussion here a little over a week ago. And so if you know, he had 8 minutes to talk today, but if you want to listen to him go on for an hour, you could. It was a really good show, though. I mean, he did a great show. But that was the whole idea, was to be able to take the great knowledge that we have here crammed in 2 days and to bring those speakers and attorneys and other people and just average guys out. I mean, because I'm just an average guy. My day job, I'm a machinist. I work in computerized automotive milling and stuff. So anybody out there can do it. And so just get involved. You made the first step. If this is your first conference, you made the first step by coming here. And I'd like to end my talk here the same way I end every one of my Gun Rights Advocates podcasts. It's not about guns. It's about freedom.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks, Richie.